This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
Can I just say, we landed on Mars, baby!
You are so excited.
Do you realize how huge this is?
So what did we land on Mars with?
We landed on Mars in a 1974 Pinot. It's amazing. No, we have a new rover that's up there, and we also have a mini helicopter. Yeah. We're going to be able to, like a drone, we're going to control it from here. We're going to do more samples. We're going to look for more things. It is incredible.
It's not doing anything for me.
No, because you're just like, no, this is huge. This is amazing, and I love this stuff.
Because you think there are aliens out there.
Well, no.
Think there are UFOs out there, and you want to know if there's one on Mars.
I'm not worried about that. We already know that. But you know what it is?
What?
All of the things that we use, this stuff right in front of us, computers, every time we
space
do something
shuttle.
Like this, all of these things come from it. Plastic.
Yeah.
This is what's great. The technological advances of Moderna in 48 hours figuring out how to get this thing comes from giant leaps like this, and I think it's massive.
And it's not doing anything for me.
I know it isn't doing anything for you. Trust me, if there was a vaccine up there, I'd be like, this is a great story in the history of the world.
Hey, if I go to Mars, do they have COVID there? Maybe I'll live there. Becky Lynn, is this doing anything for you, this Mars landing?
You know what? I'm kind of watching it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do. I think the idea that we are way out there and we know there's things out there, let's go see what's out there.
Go to Neptune or something.
Get there.
Mars is so overplayed. Go to Venus. You know, do something different. Mars.
One step at a time.
That's where the Federation is. Don't we remember?
That's
where the Federation is.
All right, so we'll get some info on the and ASU had a big part of this. They're pretty smart over there.
They are. They're extremely smart.
That is not a party school like it used to be.
Like it used to be.
Yeah, when I got out of here in the 90s,
I couldn't get into anywhere else, but ASU took me, and all I have to do is bring my own bongs.
Right. Wow, what a difference Michael Crow has made.
Michael Crow. I'm talking to Michael next week, actually. We're going out to lunch.
No, you're not.
I know, but we're going to talk on the phone.
Why?
He's got a new book.
But why wasn't I involved in it? I thought we were friends with him both. Now you're just, what? Just
because he's like, because we offered it to you and you seemed uninterested.
Probably.
Because it was something like this. You're like, I don't really care. Oh, my God. Look at those poor people in Texas.
Yeah, we'll get to Texas in a second. The temperatures are dropping there. It is just a mess. 400,000 people without power. And 13.5 million facing water issues. So we'll get to Texas definitely in a second. Let me ask you a question. I think I believe this. There's a stat out there. It says 44% of Arizonans got COVID already.
Yeah.
So what I did was I just went, I went on my phone and I started scrolling through my friends and I'm picking out who got COVID and who didn't. Like, half my friends got COVID, man. Like, you apparently got it during one of our breaks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Steve from softball, Steven, he got it. My neighbor got it.
Timmy's knee
got it. Seriously, I'm thinking this might be right. 44% of Arizonans already got COVID. Do you believe that or no?
I would believe, yes, right around there.
I mean, we did a terrible job last year.
So,
with mitigation, we had higher numbers than anybody. We were one of the most dangerous states on the planet when it came to COVID. Why should we be surprised by this?
Well, and not only that, but I also think that you have to take into account that we're going to find out, that once we do the post-mortem of this thing down the road, that this thing spread a lot easier than people even realized, and that once it got itself into the community of spread, the chances of slowing it down, no matter what we did outside of just staying inside of our homes. I mean, Texas should have a massive drop off now.
Because people have been in their house for a week or so.
Yeah. And when you burn everything you have, to survive, chances are that's not going to survive it. But I just think this thing, when we look back, no matter what we would have done, we might not have been able to stop it. And you know what? Some of the people early in the game that were talking about this saying, look, everybody's going to kind of end up at the same place no matter what they try to do.
And I don't want to relitigate all that. We blew it right from the beginning. We could have contained it. We didn't.
I don't think
China
we could have
didn't
contained
help. You know what? It doesn't matter because it's already here.
So
I think one of the things to look at, and I've said this all year, let's try not to look back at 2020. Let's look ahead. We're in 2021. Let's say that this is right. 44% of Arizonans got COVID already. Okay. Shouldn't we get to herd immunity faster than anybody then?
I think we're only behind one or two other. At 60% in.
So if we're at 44 already,
we're past four. No, those are COVID, and then if you toss in other things, and remember, these are the people that can. These are the adults, not just the children, because the children really don't count in the same kind of numbers that we're
right.
looking for.
And these are known cases.
So these are known cases. So we're probably closer to, well, one thing I got earlier that young Lloyd sent us says that 60% is kind of the threshold that you look for real herd immunity. Mm-hmm. We shoot higher because that's what you have to do. We're at like 55.2%.
Of what?
Of getting to that 60. We need like another
five.
You think
we're already at 55% mm-hmm. of herd immunity in Arizona?
I think as far as people who've had it and or people who are getting shots, I think
right.
we're close.
And how many people out there didn't report that they had it?
Or how many people had no idea?
Yeah. No, that too. I have two friends who have COVID right now. They're married.
Yes, they went, I know.
What do you mean you know?
I had golf today.
Oh, did you have the date?
Yeah.
With my wife, golf date? Oh, so you know the two friends.
Yes.
It's very odd that you know this kind of inner stuff. Yeah, I've got to ask my wife.
Your wife took Italian food to her the other day.
Yes, she did. Yeah, really? You do know this?
Yeah, I did.
Wow. Well,
yeah,
it was a drop-off. I said, listen, don't get anywhere near.
Yeah, I know. She said that too.
So they both went and got tested. Here's my point. They went and got tested, and it's the rapid test. The rapid test, by the way, is garbage. If you think you have COVID, get a regular test because there's so many stories of the rapid test not being good.
This isn't like a pregnancy test where no matter how many times you take something, it works. This one always seems to be
one off. Of them tested positive. The other tested negative. They felt exactly the same. Rotten. So they both had it.
Yeah.
And so if you ever – and I told people this. If you ever feel like you have COVID, just skip the rapid test. That's one thing we've learned. You're not going to get you're not going to get the whole thing going up your nose and in your brain. You can go and get a regular test where they'll swab your nose. You won't even feel it, or you can swab your own nose. Get that test. Don't get the rapid because it's so unreliable.
Absolutely.
If we've got 44% of Arizonans already had COVID and they've got some antibodies, again, you're still going to have to get the vaccine because I think one of the worst things you could do is you get COVID, you think you're immune, and you're going to get a different strain of it down the line. That's brutal. That is brutal, man. I don't want that California strain. I don't want the UK strain. I know that I think we only have like the South African strain. I don't even think is here. Maybe.
We have not like
nothing.
The UK strain. It came to it like South Carolina, and there was one or two, but then people started stopped talking about it. It seemed to disappear.
What do you mean?
The South African strains. It never really took hold. Like the Ukraine strain got here and people were talking
about
it. Well,
that's good. The South African strain was really bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if most of us got it here in Arizona and now we're at lows, we're getting 1,000 cases a day, which is a number that I didn't ever think we'd see again. And that's it's still 1,000 people who are suffering, but it's not 17,000. It's not 8,000. It's not 15,000 like we've seen before. I'll take 1,000 a day. And the main thing is we're getting vaccines in arms. I think 1 in 7 people in Maricopa County already have a vaccine. So that's amazing.
So if you think about what we can vaccinate, that's the other thing. Right now, still 18 for one and over 16 for the other. So it's not like 5 and 6 year olds are getting this. And when you count them in the population, it's different. But for the adults and the people that can get this, yeah, I would see us right around that.
You take the kids out of the population in mm-hmm. Arizona. You're right.
Yeah. So you take that out. And so then you go, okay, well, that's a different story because you're looking at a much different group of numbers to get us to that point, because once the adults feel like it's safe to go out, then everybody can go out. Once the adults think it's okay to safe, then we could go. Oh, see, look, Ted Cruz has his little mask on. He got a Texas mask on.
He's the biggest imbecile walking God's green earth. We're going to talk about him next. He went to Cancun while his state is in misery. All right, coming up next. You remember the Peoria sleazebag who tried to kidnap his kid and then killed the child's mother?
I do remember that.
All the charges have been dropped.
Ooh.
Why?
Hmm.
Next, in a second.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Where news and entertainment hang out. It's the Gatos and Chad Show.
Hey, you have the oldest AC. talking about the oldest. That's air conditioner, for those of you who don't know. You can win a brand new high-efficiency AC air conditioner with an air purifier courtesy of Day and Night Air Conditioning. Text the word DAY, D-A-Y, to 411-923 to enter now. That's D-A-Y, DAY, to 411-923. Message and data rates may apply.
All right, coming up, Texas. You're not going to believe what people are doing there to survive. I mean, to survive. It's like a third world country over there. We're going to talk about that. We're going to go live to Texas, Dallas specifically, at 2:30. All right. We talked about this Peoria guy. He tried to kidnap his baby. He killed the child's mother. I guess they were in the car at the same time. She was fighting with him because he was trying to steal the car and the child. Mom got out of the car one way or another. And this man stopped the car, pulled a Huey, and he ran over her and killed her. And just the other day, he tried to commit suicide, the coward. And now today we hear all the charges have been dropped against this guy. What's happening? KTAR legal expert, our great friend Monica Lindstrom joins us. Hey, Monica, how are you?
Hi, guys. Doing well.
All right. You know, what is the deal here? Why would anyone drop the charges against a guy that did something like that? What is happening?
Well, first of all, they dropped the charges, and they can always bring the charges again. So they're dismissing it without prejudice, which means, hey, court, we want to dismiss it right now, but we want to have the ability to be able to bring these charges again in the future. Now, under the Constitution, we have everybody has a right to a speedy trial, which means the prosecution has to do the complaint, they have to do all the discovery, and they have to have a trial within a certain amount of time. That he can't just sit in jail just waiting until the prosecutor decides to work on the case. We all have a right to a speedy trial, like I just said. Well, that puts time limits on the prosecutor. Now, if he's in the hospital and he's not able to be involved in his defense, if he's at a place like he's in a coma, for example, he can't participate in his own defense. And so the state wants to go ahead and drop the charges so that if he ever recovers, they can bring the charges later. And then that way they're not under that timeline that they had before. And if you're going to prosecute somebody for murder, there's no time limit on that. So it's really just a time saving thing that the prosecutor is doing. And if he ends up passing away, then the state has saved a bunch of time in the investigation.
So he's mentally, excuse me, he's medically incapacitated after the suicide.
Medically.
Attack. Medically,
yes,
incapacitated.
Exactly.
So does that.
Now, that's different than being mentally incapacitated. You can be completely fine physical, but just mentally, you can't understand what's going on.
So is he a vegetable? Is that what it is? And he's never going to be able to, recover from his suicide attempt?
It's possible, or he could just be in a medically induced coma right now.
Hey, Monica, the reports are out that one of the reasons they also did is the family asked them to do it so they could make a medical decision. Is that one of those things where it's like, all right, with the medical decision probably is we may have to pull the plug, if you will. And what would happen if he was charged with it? And, you know, is there some states have weird kind of rules where if you're charged with something, but then you die in the middle of something, what would happen then?
Well, it depends. I mean, if he's charged with something and he dies and he's never been convicted, then the charges go away. I mean, nothing's going to happen. There's nobody that you can convict, that you can't go forward on anything. If you were dealing with some kind of wrongful death lawsuit that's in the civil world, then you might have some issues because this happened in other states. I forget who it was. He got convicted and then he was appealing. I think it was in New York. Was it Epstein? I'm not sure.
Or was it Aaron Hernandez, the football player?
Aaron Hernandez. That's right. So Aaron Hernandez, he committed suicide in prison. So what happened is since his appeal was pending and he died, the law in New York was that it's like as if he never got convicted. So when it comes to insurance or civil lawsuits, that could help. That's not really the situation that we have in this case. This guy was not a multimillionaire. He doesn't have an appeal pending. He hasn't been convicted. So this just really has to do with his medical condition. Number one, that the family says, you know what, let's just wait to see what's going to happen. And the prosecutor is using very good judgment by saying, look, we're not going to go forward and put ourselves under the gun and the timelines and put out all those financial resources if we don't need to.
I'm just wondering, like, if you murder someone, which he did, and you go into some sort of a medically incapacitated state, is the state responsible for pulling the plug, or does the family still get to make that decision?
Well, now you're in a whole different world, right? Because if there are living relatives, they're the ones that make the decision. It's only the state only steps in if there's not someone else to make that decision. The state can't step in and say, pull the plug, because the state hasn't even convicted the person yet.
Yeah.
And
I guess my
even
point,
if they had convicted him, they're not going to do that.
I don't care what happens to this guy. He can die. He can live. It doesn't matter to me. They could bring him up on charges. He could be in a coma for the rest of his life. I just don't want, you know, when you read this and you wonder, why are charges being dropped against a guy who's clearly guilty? He can have his day in court, but he's clearly guilty of murder in the first degree. And to have those charges dropped, I think a lot of people saw that and they're like, whoa, what's going on? So I'm glad you explained it.
Yeah, remember, the state can always bring the charges back. And if he recovers and he's in a state of mind and a physical state that he can go forward with trial, they absolutely will file those charges again.
Monica,
no doubt.
One last quick question. Let's say he comes out of this in 3, 4, 5 months, but he comes out of it and he's suffered so much brain damage that he didn't know up from down. What's the state do at that point? Do they just let it go and he goes off to a home or his family takes care of him?
Yeah, it's a choice. The state can do that, or the state can go ahead and file charges and try to go ahead and prosecute him, but they wouldn't be able to because he would not be able to stand trial. So then he would be committed essentially to the state hospital, and that's where he would live out the rest of his days if we go down that road.
All right, Monica.
So he's never going to be free again unless he dies and he's in heaven, or
he ain't going to be in heaven.
Or there's a trial and he's found not guilty.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Monica.
All right. Bye, guys.
When you look at the punishment that this guy could have had, life in prison, death penalty, he tried to take the coward's way out and attempt suicide, and he might be a vegetable. That's probably the best punishment he can get. Let him be a vegetable for the rest of his life and let him just suffer there for years. Sorry, but you kill a woman on purpose, premeditated, you take a mother away from a child, you're a piece of garbage. So I don't really care.
Look, you know what? As long as we don't have to pay for it, right? We don't have to pay for this.
Coming up next, why Texans.
Right? I don't want to pay for it.
Why Texans are burning their belongings to survive. Next.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
The Gatos and Chad Show, 2 till 6.
We have been without power for 3 days now. It's so cold in my house that my milk is frozen, and we cannot find a hotel, and we cannot get any relief, period.
I've been without with power for 3 days. My house is freezing.
Roughly 3 days without power. The rolling outages clearly are a lie.
Oh, North Texas residents, the first one, the milk is frozen, is what she said. There are people that pipes are bursting in their house, and it's bringing down the ceiling. The water is bringing down the ceiling. It is a mess in Texas.
It is a hot mess.
It is. Let's go out to our friend from ABC News, Jim Ryan, who's in Dallas. Hey, Jim, share a story with us of a resident that has really gone through hell during, you know, the last few days, because I know you've been talking to everybody out there.
Yeah. Well, okay. For example, a person down in Houston lives in an apartment not too far from downtown. Power went out a couple of days ago. It stayed off for hours and hours. Eventually, the water was shut off because the pumps quit working. The pipes were frozen all over the Houston area. And yet, in the evening, you would look outside, and even though the whole neighborhood is dark, downtown Houston was lit up like a Christmas tree, blazing brilliant. The skyscrapers down there were being lit in the middle of this energy crisis. That person was my son, and he was furious that was happening in Houston. Mm-hmm. Up here in Dallas, you've got people who are trying to keep warm, and with sometimes tragic results. You've got people who have died of carbon monoxide poisoning after using gas generators inside their homes. Families who were trying to keep warm inside their cars. The cars were running. They didn't realize they were slowly poisoning themselves inside the garage. is really, you know, there are as many stories as there are people here in the state, I think.
Hey, Jim, I'm looking at the forecast here. They've got next few days, Friday and Saturday looks cold, but then it'll start to get into the 50s, 60s, and even the low 70s. Over the next several days, I mean, they're up to about 400,000, 500,000 people without power. But what are they looking at across the board? Are they going to continue with all of these rolling blackouts? Or are they starting to restore stuff as it warms up and they'll get back to some normalcy?
Well, I think a lot of those now that are out there, the outages, and as of right now, there are 376,000 customers. That's homes and businesses. It could be apartment complexes that don't have power. So it's a lot more than 306,000 people. But I suspect a lot of those are because of power lines that have been knocked over or transformers that have blown up, because I suspect that as these numbers go down, there's less need for the kinds of rolling blackouts that were intended to protect the overall power grid. That was being done as the grid was approaching its tripping point. The head of the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, ERCOT, says that the state was very close to losing its entire power grid when demand suddenly almost reached the availability of power.
Talking to Jim Ryan, our buddy from ABC, who's out there in Texas. It's built for summer. That's what the power grid, that's what a lot of people are saying. It's built for summer. It's not built for this kind of winter. It's one thing to have a dusting of snow, but it is built for summer. Are they going to be even ready for summer? Because it sounds like they've got a lot of rebuild going on.
Well, sure, they do. And obviously, summer imposes different kinds of challenges on the system than this cold, cold weather does. This hasn't happened really since 2011. That was right around the time that North Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth, hosted its one and only Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was there for that.
You remember the ice storm? You remember the ice coming down?
What a crazy time that was.
Well, yeah. You notice the NFL hasn't had a game here since then.
Hmm.
But, yeah, and after that, there are two federal agencies that said, look, guys, you need to really winterize this system. You lost a lot of power. I mean, the whole thing froze up, and there were real troubles associated with that. Well, nothing was really done at that time. The natural gas pipes were not insulated. You know, the water stations were not fortified against this kind of cold. And here's what happens 10 years later, unfortunately. You know, you're right. It's built for the heat, not necessarily for the cold. And when those gas pipes froze, those natural gas pipes, suddenly the fuel for the power stations was gone. And that's why so many people ended up without electricity, because, you know, the generating was just offline.
Jim Ryan's joining us from ABC News in Dallas. Are you from Dallas?
Lived here about 40 years.
Okay. So what's your experience? Are you in your own house and are you freezing too?
No, somehow, and I have a theory as to why this is, the power has stayed on here. The heat has been working. Electricity works. But we're just across the field. There's about a 200-yard field, and there are two healthcare facilities right here. You know, I know they have generators, but somehow they've stayed online.
Wow.
And I think the house has stayed online. Some in the neighborhood have not, so we might just be lucky, you know, while others are suffering out there and losing the heat either temporarily or permanently for the last few days. We've been very, very lucky. I'm not taking it for granted.
Hey, Jim, what part of the state has been absolutely affected the most? I mean, you hear about Austin and, you know, everybody talks about Dallas and Houston, those big ones. But what other parts? Because there's got to be some more of the rural, smaller cities up and down that have been really affected.
I've really been amazed at this, that it really is the urban centers that are looking at the most trouble, Dallas and Houston and El Paso, Austin, San Antonio. And that may be because there are more people. They're putting a greater strain on the electrical supply. I looked at a statewide map of outages, and in a place like up in Amarillo, up in the Panhandle, where it gets extremely cold every year, they've been doing okay. You don't have many outages out there at all. But if you look at the Houston area and up in and Dallas-Fort Worth, that, you know, that's where the problem is the most extreme. And now, not only is it just the electricity, it's water, too. The pump stations have frozen in some places. Water pipes have broken. And so people are being told to boil their water. A school district right between Dallas and Fort Worth in Arlington, some 21 schools have been water damaged because of the deep freeze. You know, they had pipes freeze, and suddenly the school gets flooded. So it's going to be a real mess around here for some time.
ABC News, Jim Ryan in Dallas, Texas. Thanks for the update, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
It's so sad, man. It's so sad to see what's happening over there.
The guy's got a voice, doesn't he, man?
Oh, yeah.
Just smooth as butter. Smooth as butter.
Well, his house has not been affected.
No, that's luckily. And it seems to be weird because I've talked to a couple friends in San Antonio. It's almost at times, hey, you're across the street. You don't have anything. Hey, we're here. We're fine.
But here's the crazy thing. Like, if you're Jim Ryan and your house has electricity, normally what you would do is you'd invite people in.
But because of COVID.
Can't do it.
You decide to do it,
or you decide not to do it. There's no wrong answer. It's
no.
what you're comfortable with.
I mean, I would invite my neighbors. I'm like, you guys cannot stay here. I mean, I want you guys to say, hey, good news, we didn't get COVID. Bad news, all my friends died from hypothermia.
Right.
What?
Right, it's tough. All right, up next. Would you go to a restaurant in the Valley that discourages masks?
Of course I will.
No, he wouldn't.
I will.
We'll talk about it next.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Drive home with the Gatos and Chad Show.
Do you have the oldest AC? You can win a brand new high-efficiency AC with an air purifier courtesy of Day and Night Air Conditioning. Text the word DAY to 411923 to enter now. That's DAY to 411923. Message and data rates may apply.
All right. Thank you, Mandy. She's new to the show, one of our new producers. Let's see.
You said that as if we got 19 other producers.
We have a lot of producers. We're the Ferrari of radio shows. We need lots of help.
Okay.
Would you go to a restaurant in the Valley that, what am I asking you? You don't even go to restaurants.
Yeah, there you go. I'm the wrong person. Would you go to a restaurant that doesn't have a drive-thru? Probably not.
So, it's interesting. Did we talk about, there was some place in Arizona, in the Valley or whatever, it was like a place where you go get a T-shirt, and they say you're not allowed to wear a mask in the store, and then somebody
Where was that? That was
Cave Creek?
Yeah, that was Cave Creek, right? Like, that was one of those super America places.
Oh, yeah. Super America.
Yeah.
Somebody pushed
somebody, and then somebody, you know, as you do, you draw a gun.
That's right. There's a Florida restaurant that's stirring the attention of everybody. And it says, it basically has a picture of a face mask and like a big red X through it. And it says, face diapers not required. Everyone welcome. Well, I think we need to say what a face diaper is, because I think the people that wear the face masks incorrectly, not over their nose, not even over their mouth, but on their chin, isn't that what they call face diaper?
Chin diaper, yeah. Face diaper, something like
chin
that.
Chin diaper,
yeah.
Right.
So you've got it down below your... Now, it doesn't always have to be just on your chin. Sometimes I think some people get mad, because like sometimes when I'm talking to people, and even though we're further apart, I have to pull my... because as you know, my eyesight's not the greatest. I have to pull it down because you know what I'm sick and tired of? Fogging my glasses. And that's worse than not seeing.
Well, you're a tough one because you have a beard.
Yeah.
You can't see worth anything.
No.
And you have glasses. And it's like when you have a beard and you put a mask on, it's uncomfortable. When you have glasses and you put a mask on, it fogs, you know, it fogs.
It does really bad.
You just got to carry a sign around that says, I have antibodies.
Yeah, that's right.
However you got those antibodies, I don't know, but you've got the antibodies.
I got them. Don't worry about it.
So you got them.
You want some? I got some. Hey, you got some antibodies? Of course you know I do.
So
would you go to a restaurant like this? No chance. Here's my question to you, guys.
No, I wouldn't go because I wouldn't sit inside.
When are you going to feel comfortable? Let's say we're getting to the point where we've reached herd immunity and it's optional whether or not you wear a mask, and not just one place, but pretty much everywhere. Mm-hmm. When are you going to feel comfortable?
Where?
Going into a restaurant to eat.
And sitting inside?
Yeah.
It's going to be a few months.
Yeah. Even if we're past it, I still think you're going to still be a little hesitant.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people
A lot of people. I said psychologically, and that has to go with the economy and everything, there are going to be people that are going to be waiting for the next way. There are going to be people that are going to be waiting for something.
I'm not
going to
be waiting. I don't want to be that. I'm not going to catastrophize at all. Well, I'm not going to be waiting. You know, when the pandemic is over, it's over. It doesn't mean that you're totally safe, but it means that you're safer. When you get the vaccine, you're going to be 95% safer.
Yeah.
Okay? So when I get the vaccine and you wait a few weeks and you know it's kicked in, listen, if you end up getting the virus, what are you going to do? You've done everything right.
Yeah.
You wear a mask, you get the vaccine. And if the 5% chance you get the virus, by the way, it won't be that bad. You're going to have really, really mild symptoms because you've already gotten the vaccine.
Yeah.
But going to a restaurant like this one in Florida that's making fun of masks, you might as well just put up a sign that says we don't wash our hands after we go to the bathroom.
It's Florida, though.
It is.
Do they really need to put a sign up like that?
No.